All right, 2 Kings chapter 11 is where we're going to start tonight. And we've been talking a lot about the northern kingdom over the past couple chapters, and for that matter, a lot of 2 Kings has been about the northern kingdom. We're going to start to look a little bit towards Judah and the southern kingdom now and some of the events that are happening down there. And we're going to speak about one particular person in Athaliah, who is a who took over rule after her son was killed by Jehu, Ahaziah, and it goes even further back than this. When Jehoshaphat gave up his son to be married to her, who was Ahab and Jezebel's daughter, this one decision that was made to unite with evil, we're starting to see as the generations go on, is starting to pay a bad price. And we'll see it here in Judah, who we know has had good kings, has had bad kings. Not like the nation of the northern kingdom of Israel, where all their kings are bad. But we're starting to see that even, I'm pretty sure there are things we could think about in our own lives, the decisions that we've made to where we're like maybe regretting them now. Or we look back and say, wow, that was really a bad decision. And now it's having an effect maybe on my children or even our parents or whatever that decision may have been. And we're seeing that effect here in chapter 11 with Athaliah and her worship of Baal and wanting to reign after her son died. And we'll see exactly as we get started one of the most evil deeds I think any parent or grandparent could do. And then that is, she's going to be killing her own grandchildren to keep Ahab's legacy, I guess, alive, since all of Ahab's family had died up to this point in the northern kingdom. So let's start verse 1. And it reads, "When Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the royal heirs." So that's anybody that was her grandchildren, or maybe even her great-grandchildren, or what have you. She started destroying them all. But Jehoshabah, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him away from among the king's sons, who were being murdered. And they hid him and his nurse in the bedroom from Athaliah, so that that he was not killed. So he was hidden with her in the house of the Lord for 6 years while Athaliah reigned over the land. So he's saying here that she was, said Jehoshabah, the daughter of King Joram and sister of Ahaziah, took Joash. Now, she was did not have the same mother. There's in some commentaries, they talk about her having a different mother than Athaliah. So that was not her mother. But she came from a different mother. And then they said they stored her in a bedroom. I was looking at some commentaries on that as well, and they would say that it was not necessarily a bedroom, but more of a room where they stored mattresses. So it was like a storage room or a closet where they stored things to keep Joash alive, because he was going to be the last heir of David, because all these kids had a line to David. So they kept one away. And it's just like Satan to want to try and destroy the line of David. Destroy the line the Messiah was going to come from. And he has continued to do that even to this day. I think he's still trying to destroy these things. And we see how he possessed Athaliah to go out and kill her grandchildren. And I mean, just think about that. I couldn't think of myself killing my own children. I couldn't think of those who are grandmothers and grandfathers wanting to kill their grandchildren. And we do see this on the news from time to time, but it's funny how evil sin can make you do very evil things, things that we would never even think up in our own mind. But when sin has a hold of you and a grip on you, it can make you do things that are unthinkable, and we see that here. Sin is definitely a disease, and sin had gripped Athaliah hard here in killing her own children. It's unthinkable to me that would even happen. So going to verse 4, it says, "In the seventh year, Jehoiada sent and brought the captains of hundreds of the bodyguards and the escorts, and brought them into the house of the Lord to him. And he made a covenant with them, and took an oath from them in the house of the Lord, and showed them the king's son. So he wanted to make sure that no one was going to run out and tell this evil queen that one of the king's sons is still alive. One of David's heirs was still alive. So he was going to make a covenant with them. Then it goes on. Then he commanded them, saying, "This is what you shall do. One third of you who come on duty on the Sabbath shall be keeping watch over the king's house. One third shall be at the gate of Sur, and one third of the gate behind the escorts. You will keep the watch over of the house, lest it be broken down. The two contingents of you who go off duty on the Sabbath shall keep the watch on the house of the Lord for the king. But you shall surround the king on all sides, every man with his weapons in his hand, and whoever comes within range, let him be put to death. You are to be with the king as he goes out and as he comes in." So the captains of the hundreds did according to all Jehoiada the priest commanded. Each of them took his men who were to be on duty on the Sabbath with those who were going off duty on the Sabbath, and came to Jehoiada the priest. And the priest gave the captains of hundreds the spears and shields which had belonged to King David that were in the temple of the Lord. Then the escort stood, every man with his weapon in his hand, all around the king, from the right side of the temple to the left side of the temple, by the altar and by the house. So he brought in these soldiers and these captains and their hundreds in to protect the king, or the future king, the last remaining line of David, the last remaining line from the Messiah to come. And they're coming in, and they're going to make a covenant. So that they would not go out and tell Athaliah about this boy, tell him about the king is still here. And I think the Lord also wants to have a commitment and a covenant with us. He doesn't just want someone to come in and have curiosity about who God is. He doesn't want them because they could go off and leave the Lord again. But he wants to have that covenant with us. It's like these soldiers are going to have a covenant to protect the king. We need to have that covenant and that commitment to the Lord. Not just a passing curiosity that's good for one season, but it may not be good for the next. We need to have that commitment to the Lord as these guys are going to have this covenant to protect the king as well. So he showed them the king's son and showed them, hey, this is going to be the king here. Gave them their marching orders on what they have to do, and they seemed to be more than willing to do it. Because I'm pretty sure Athaliah was not treating this kingdom and this realm very good. I'm pretty sure there was more evil than just, I don't know how much more evil you can get than killing your own grandchildren, but there was more evil going on. And I'm pretty sure they were quick to follow the true line of the king for Judah. And one reason Athaliah was able to reign for 6 years was that maybe no one knew there was an alternative. No one knew that this boy here, Joash, was alive. So maybe they figured when she killed the whole line of David, maybe that was it. We don't have another option. We're going to just have to submit to her authority, and that is it. And how many people do we know that don't know there's another option for their lives? They're living in sin. They're regretting. They're hating their lives. Some love sin, and they continue to live in that. But there are those who do hate sin. They hate the lives that they live. And they don't think like they have another alternative. They don't think they have another way out. But we're to share that gospel with them. We're to present them with the king. Just like Joash was presented to the soldiers, hey, this is the king. This is going to be our chance to get out from under the authority of Athaliah. And many in our communities need to hear that good news, that hey, there's a way out from underneath Satan and his grip on you. There's a way out. And that's through Jesus, the true king, the one that can bring you hope and bring you joy and bring you peace. So we need to make sure that we are those going out to spread the good news and giving this hurt world another option, because too many of them has already given up and they don't see another option. But we have another option we can offer them, the option of the gospel. Amen. In verse 12, it says, "And he brought out the king's son, put the crown on him, gave him the testimony. They made him king and anointed him, and they clapped their hands and said, 'Long live the king.'" So they brought the king out and they presented it to the soldiers and presented it to those who were in the temple. And what a place for this young guy, Joash, to grow up for those 6 years in the temple, in the presence of those doing the Lord's work. And just think about all he may have learned while he was in the temple, too, before he was even presented as king. That had to be a great place. I'm sure he was learning that even in those short 6 years, he probably learned a lot about the Lord at that moment, too, being in the temple. And then he's presented before the soldiers as the next king, the actual king of Judah. And he's given the crown as king, and he's also given the testimony. He's given the word of God. He's given the scrolls. And in Deuteronomy 17:18, it says that the king should have his own copy of his scriptures. Well, if we're going to be kings and priests, we need to have our own copy of scriptures too. Not only a physical hard copy, but we need to store it in our hearts and store it in our minds to where all day long we're meditating on it. And I know in this society we live, it's hard sometimes to just want to meditate. And man, if I could spend all day in the Word, I would do it. But I have other responsibilities I have to take care of. But that's my desire, to just want to spend time in His Word and learn His Word and soak it in and have it not only in my mind but in my heart and meditate it on it day and night. And so He's handed the Scriptures. He's handed basically the keys. Hey, this is where eternal life is going to come from. When you rule, let's rule from this. Let's rule from this testimony of who God is. Let's rule from the Scriptures. And that's how we should be ruling our lives. And I'm not going to say rule, but that's how we should be leading our family, man. By the Scripture. God has given that to us to be the priest of our household. We need to have that Scripture and give it to our families and rule according to Scripture. Ladies, raising up our children, rule them according to Scripture. Teach them according to Scripture. Just like this king is grabbing the Scripture to rule Judah, we need to rule our own households with the Scripture. That's why we need to have it in our heads and we need to have it in our hearts. And then they clap, "Long live the king." What a day that's going to be when we're going to be able to clap and say, "Long live the king," when Jesus returns. That's the day I look forward to every day. I'm driving to work every day and I'm thinking, "Lord, Maranatha, if you want to come right now, come. Let me go clap up in heaven for you. Let me praise you in heaven now. I'm ready." But that's going to be a glorious day as well whenever we're able to say, "Long live the king," and just give him all the praise and all the glory that he deserves. And he warrants us we're going to be able to do that in his presence. Amen. In verse 13, it says, "Now then Athaliah heard the noise of the escorts and the people, and she came to the people in the temple of the Lord. Then she looked there. There was a king standing by a pillar according to custom. And the leaders and the trumpeters were by the king, and all the people of the land were rejoicing and blowing trumpets. So Athaliah tore her clothes and cried out, "Treason, treason." No, there's no treason here. Maybe to her rule. She was the one who was intruding. She was the one who was treason by taking over this kingdom when this kingdom was rightfully put there for David and his heirs. But they were going against her particular rule. And the people were rejoicing over this. They weren't rejoicing over Athaliah's rule. They were rejoicing over the new king, Joash's rule, and the new day that was about to dawn on the nation of Judah. And in verse 15, he goes on to say, "And Jehoiada, the priest, commanded the captains of the hundreds and the officers of the army and said to them, 'Take her outside under guard, and slay with the sword whoever follows her.' For the priests had said, 'Do not let her be killed in the house of the Lord.' So they seized her, and she went by way of the horses' entrance into the king's house, and there she was killed. So they weren't going to kill her in the house of the Lord, but they were going to take care of her. And anyone who followed was going to be taken care of by them as well. And the Lord takes this very seriously. The Lord takes very seriously those who want to lead kids astray, who wants to lead people astray from the Lord, wants to lead them away from the Lord. He takes this very seriously. This woman had been leading this nation away for 6 years. Her son was doing it prior to that. And the Lord does not play. He does not. He may seem like he delays, but there's timing for everything. And the Lord does not like those who wants to lead his people astray, away from him. He is a jealous God. He's jealous for us. And he's not going to play with those who would want to harm us or lead us astray from him in any kind of way. This is not something God likes to play with. Moving on to verse 18. It says, There you go. 18. All of the, was it 17? Yep, 17. Then Jehoiada made a covenant between the Lord, the king, and the people, that they should be the Lord's people, and also between the king and the people. Leading the nation of Judah back to the first love, leading them back to who is their savior, leading them back to who's their deliverer, leading them back to God, and setting them back on track. We need that in America today. We need to be set back on track where we need to be. We need to be back with the Lord. Too many people are running from the Lord, have no care for the Lord, doesn't even give them a thought during the day. God's not even on their mind. I look at some of these people and some of these people in leadership right now. I'm not going to name names, but we can see them. Their thoughts are not on God. Their thoughts are on other ideologies and other ways of living besides God. I'm not even talking about living like an American. I'm talking about living for God. And their thoughts are so far from it. And our nation really needs a revival. It really needs to be brought back to God again. And is everyone going to be saved? No, but we need a big revival back here in America. And we see this with the nation in Judah turning back towards God. We can use this as an example to turn back towards God, because our nation is in desperate need of that. We can see that every day on the news. In verse 18, it says, all the people of the land went to the temple of Baal and tore it down. They thoroughly broke in pieces its altar and images, and killed Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altar. And the priest appointed officers over the house of the Lord. Then he took the captains of hundreds, the bodyguards, the escorts, and all the people of the land, and they brought the king down from the house of the Lord and went by way of the gate of the escorts to the king's house. Then he sat on the throne of the kings. So all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet, for they had slain Athaliah with the sword in the king's house. Jehoash was 7 years old when he became king. So it seems like Baal worship seeped into the nation of Judah as well. We've heard a lot about it up in Israel and how Jehu went in and destroyed that whole worship system while he was up there. But little do we know that this worship system was going on in the southern kingdom as well. And I'm pretty sure Athaliah or maybe even Ahaziah may have brought that worship system into there whenever they started reigning there. But these false systems, any of them, are going to be destroyed by the Lord one way or the other. And we got a lot of false systems here today. A lot of these gods that they worshiped then are just under a different banner today. Same God, same spirit behind them. And one day they're all going to bow to the Lord. They're all going to be destroyed like Baal was destroyed here. So don't worry, we won't be around with them our entire life. The Lord will come again on that. So the people of the land, they didn't just stop just by destroying the temple either. They went in and destroyed the priest and killed the priest also. They weren't going to stop with just the building. They were going to go and destroy the whole system. And if we have any false worship in our hearts, if we have any false, any idols that we may have in our life, we need to destroy that whole system too. We can't let that sit in our hearts and our mind and rot us. The Lord has done too much for us to sit there. I mean, I'm preaching to myself on that. I could probably sit here and name you a couple things that I need to get rid of in my life. And I'm pretty sure each one of you could too. But we need to destroy the whole system of worship, the whole system of ideologies that we may have that is contrary to the Lord. We need to destroy them all. And we see the nation of Judah doing that to Baal right here. Then it says, he sat on the throne of the kings. What a day that's going to be. We'll just talk about the Lord coming back. What a day that's going to be whenever the King of Kings is sitting on the throne over everything. Which he's sitting on the throne already. But once this world is done, time has passed, and he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords over everything. And we're there worshiping him in his presence. And that's going to be an awesome day. Because, you know, when the righteous people, when righteous rule, people are going to rejoice. So when the Lord is going to be the final ruler over everything, people are going to be rejoicing. But when we have evil, the people mourn and the people cry, because evil is not the way the Lord planned for people to be led by. And you know, in Ezekiel 33:11, he also says that he doesn't take joy in the death of the wicked. He doesn't take joy in the wicked dying. He wants everyone to come to the knowledge of who he is and the saving knowledge of who he is. And he probably even weeps over that. So there is one who will be greater than Joash, and that's Jesus. He's going to come one day down from the sky for the second coming. We'll be there with him riding in. And then we're going to live with him and worship him forever. Amen. And it goes on, and I'm just going to read a couple parts into 12. Just talking about the remainder of Joash and his reign. It says, in the seventh year of Jehu, Joash became king, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days in which Jehoiada the priest instructed him. But the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. So as good as he probably was as a king, there were still areas that needed to be taken down. Idols needed to be taken down. Worship areas needed to be taken down. So I'll just leave you with that today, that we start taking down those idols and taking down those false areas of worship in our life that have a hold on us, and that we turn to the one true king that's going to return. Hopefully very soon. Amen. Father, we just thank you for tonight. We thank you for this message. And we thank you for the lessons that it teaches us, Father God, and that we know that you will return as a true king and a true warrior, Father God, one day for your people. And we just ask, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, with the idols and the false worship, Lord, that may hinder us, Father God. And that you would just help us to abolish that, Father. We just ask for your safety for those traveling home tonight. And we ask for your blessings, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.